Phew, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Dan. We've been, by the way, let me throw also a little shout out for the drama that we'll be putting together. You do need to sign up, so please sign up. Everybody here should be involved. You should just get involved in something. Honestly, you'll do it. You'll change somebody's life. What a powerful way to share the gospel. If you're kind of the scared type that have a hard time sharing it up front with somebody, well, you can help share it by being a stagehand or some of the other parts that we're doing. If you know people who are good actors, you sign them up even though they didn't sign up, okay? Sign other people up. It's just to enjoy. Just go through your list. Find people. Sign them up. It will be great. We'll contact them. They'll go, what? And then they'll feel like, this must be the Lord, and therefore, I'm going to do that. So again, yes, it's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. No, I'm just kidding. Woo, 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 woo. All right. Anyway, but do sign them up. Okay. We've been talking about a new year. A new year. God's got new for you in 2022. A new year. We've been talking about new things that the Lord wants to do. We've talked about a new thing. God wants to declare a new, fresh, exciting things over your life. He talked about you being a new creation. You're one day newer every day. New mercies that are every morning. New wine, but we need to be new wineskins because there's a new wine that's coming. There's a new wine that's coming and we need to be that new wineskin. Last week we talked about a new heart and a new spirit from Ezekiel. We talked about how God's heart was that He wanted to be their God. He wanted them to be His people, but somehow they just weren't getting it throughout time. And then we found out that His presence literally left Jerusalem during this. But He gave hope for the future. He said, I'm going to give you. Ezekiel talked about, prophesied, there's going to be a new heart and a new spirit that's going to come. And then we realized that He left His temple. He left the nation, but He's coming back again and He's going to inhabit His temple. But that temple, we find out, New Testament, is not made out of brick and mortar. It's made out of flesh. It is literally us. We are the temple of the living God that He inhabits, that He gets to be our God and we get to be His people. So I want to, as we continue on here, also let me say this, that if you want any of these messages, you need to go back and look at them. You can always get them online at livingfaithfellowship.com, or you can download our app. And everybody here, honestly, everybody here should have the app. Bible reading, all sorts of great stuff is on that. You need to get the app, okay? So please download it. Let's stand and do our reading for today. We talked about last time in Ezekiel. We're going to take our reading from today in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, okay. I thought they were fooling me. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. You may be seated. What a powerful portion of Scripture. We looked at Ezekiel, as I said last time. We're looking at Jeremiah. Again, these guys are contemporaries. Remember our history lesson from last time? There are three carrying aways of the city of Jerusalem in 607 BC, in 597 BC, and finally the final destruction in 586 BC. Also, there were three returns back that came. Zerubbabel in 538 BC, and then Ezra in 458 BC, bringing back the worship. Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. Ezra was working on the people and worship. And then finally, Nehemiah in 444 BC, he was rebuilding the walls that were there. And let me just take another, I have a couple of side notes today, but let me take a little side note. We're reading out of Esther right now, okay? That's our daily Bible reading. We're reading from Esther. Esther was written at the time that it's taking place in the 470s BC. So if you realize Zerubbabel, 538 BC, Ezra, 458. So it's about 15 or 20 years before Ezra's work on the worship and the people. That's where we're at. But we're also in Babylon. We're back in Shushan, or Susa is the capital where this story takes place. Another side note, because I couldn't help myself. I was asking the question myself, is that Mordecai, remember Mordecai? Haman gets promoted, so to speak, and everybody's supposed to bow down when he comes by. He's supposed to bow down. Mordecai doesn't bow down. It doesn't say why he doesn't bow down. He just doesn't want to bow down. And I thought, well, why doesn't he want to bow down? He just, you know, just a little curtsy, I guess. Everybody else is doing it. Well, it's interesting if you look at the history there, that Haman was an Agagite. Okay, that's an Amalekite. Agag was a king also Saul defeated Agag, who was the king of the Amalekites. He didn't kill him, but Samuel ends up killing him. So we have Haman here, who's an Agagite. His lineage down the line, Agag, is someone who was killed by these Benjamites, these Judahites, these Jews. And so you basically have a feud happening between the Amalekites and the Jews. And so there's a big riff right here. It's like the Hatfields and McCoys. It's this feud that's been going on. And so Haman knows that Mordecai is a Jew. He does not like Jews. They killed his great, 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 whatever grandfather. And so there's this big thing going on. And Mordecai doesn't like the Amalekites. So he's not going to bow down. Not only that, he's not going to bow down because he's a Jew. He's not going to bow down to any other person or any other thing, because that's what God told him to do, right? So he's not going to bow down. So Haman seeks not only to destroy and mad at Mordecai, but he doesn't like the whole nation of the Jews. That's why he went after that. That's why he's doing that. He wanted to get rid of once and for all these Jews that they have hated forever and ever and ever. Does that make sense? So there's one. Remember, as we're looking back at our picture, we have three people prophesying at this time. Because where is Jeremiah? Remember Ezekiel? He's in Babylon. He's out in the countryside. We have Daniel, who's prophesying in the palace. And then we have Jeremiah over in Jerusalem, and he's prophesying to all of the people who are just about getting ready. They're being destroyed. They've been attacked. One attack, another attack. There's going to be a final destruction that's going to happen right here. So we're going to read from Jeremiah, and that's where we're taking our lesson today from. So everybody got that? Okay. Remember, God wanted a people of his own. He wanted to be their God, and he wanted them to be his people. So let's look at this story from Jeremiah's perspective. We saw it from Ezekiel. We saw the new heart and the new spirit that was going to come out. We're going to get to Jeremiah now, and Jeremiah is going to prophesy about this new covenant. First place that's mentioned right here, only place that's mentioned in the Old Testament, right here in Jeremiah, that we're going to see the fulfillment in the New Testament. So he says this: "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord." Now remember, they're on the verge of destruction. They're just about ready to be destroyed, totally annihilated. His presence is leaving, but God is giving hope. He's giving hope. He always does. He's giving hope, and he says, "But behold, the days are coming when I will make a first mention, only mention in the Old Testament, a new covenant." Something new, something fresh, something brand new. God is so excited about what he's going to do. He lets the secret out. He lets the cat out of the bag. How much was it? Some 615 years ahead of time. It's not going to happen for 615 years later. But he just can't wait to tell somebody. It's going to happen. Some 224,628 days later. The days are coming. 224,628 days from now. I just want to tell you. But I think he also says this. But I think it will be worth the wait. I think it will be worth the wait. I'll make a new, brand fresh, new thing, a new covenant. The word covenant, breath, it means cutting, a compact. Because made by passing between pieces of flesh to create. If you remember the covenant with Abraham, when Abraham, God made a covenant with Abraham, God took, told him to take animals, different animals, and to cut them in half. And they divided them in half. And then what happened is what you would do in cutting this covenant, they called it cutting a covenant. They cut these pieces, pushed them aside, and whatever the agreement, whatever the terms was, they would decide on. And then both parties would walk through this. And the whole idea was, let that be done to us if either one of us breaks this covenant. If either one of us breaks this covenant, let us be cut in half. Basically, let us be killed. But if you remember, and Tom knows this well if he's out of the nursery, that when it happened with Abraham, God put Abraham in a deep sleep. This whole thing happened. Only God walked through those animals. Abraham didn't. Because he said, I will make sure that this covenant I'm making with you will come to pass. God was the one putting himself on the line. And if it doesn't, kill me. If it doesn't kill me, and here are the terms of the covenant back there with Abraham. The covenant consisted of four things. To make Abraham a great nation. To bless Abraham and make his name great, he said. So that he will be a blessing. To bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. I'll bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And that all the peoples of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. It's amazing to me, if you look at what are the Nobel Prizes that are out there, it's disproportionately won by Jewish people. Very disproportionately won by Jewish people in science, in medicine, in discovery, in all of this stuff. It's very amazing how God has blessed his people. He also said to him that he was going to give him the land from Egypt to the Euphrates River. He was going to give him what they called the promised land. I'm going to do this. And that he would make Abraham the father of many nations, many descendants, even though he's 90 some years old and or actually even younger than that. I think it was 20 some years before this. And then he gives him at 100 years of age, all of a sudden he starts having children. It's incredible. From the promise. The promise line, not the one from Ishmael. Also, circumcision was going to be a sign of this covenant. It's interesting that circumcision involves a cutting away. And this whole idea of this covenant involved cutting. It means to cut. To cut. So that's what he was going to do. And another amazing fact here is if you look in Jeremiah and 31 here, first time new covenant is mentioned, we're going to see exactly the parallel of this scripture, almost verbatim in Hebrews 8, 7 through 13, a New Testament. We'll see it. The Hebrew writer talked about it. And the word covenant there, the word covenant here in the New Testament, it meant a disposition, a contract, a divisory will. It means that it's the person who distributes the will here, but this will was about land. This whole idea of a divisory will is a leave real estate to to someone by terms of a will. And I thought, how interesting, because that's just what God was doing. He was saying, I'm going to give you this land. I'm giving you this land, this promised land. So he's going to make this covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He's going to do it with both pieces. Now remember, Judah, the one that's the one that's left, the other ones that have been carried away hundreds of years before this. And so he's saying, I'm not just making it with you, Judah, the southern kingdom. I'm going to make it with the northern and the south. I'm going to make it with all of my chosen people. All of them. Both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. All of them. Not according to the covenant. You can insert here in brackets old, this old covenant. Not according to this covenant, because I made a covenant, an old one here, that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. He's talking about an older covenant here. Probably the Mosaic covenant, I believe he's talking about here now. It's a covenant with Moses because it's about when he took them out of Egypt. And he's going to take them out of Egypt and they're going to lead him, if you will, through some time into the promised land. But the Mosaic covenant was also an interesting covenant. Made with Moses and the Israelites at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai on this journey as they come out of Egypt. He's making a covenant with them. And in this covenant, God promises to make the Israelites his treasured possessions. You'll be my people among all people and a kingdom of priests and a holy nation they were going to be. If they follow God's commands, if they follow God's commandments as part of the terms of this covenant, and God gives Moses, what does he give him? The Ten Commandments. There's a lot of law that he gave there. Those were the only commandments that God had, but those are the ones that we write down. I thought it was interesting, too, that God took them by the hand. He's down there from heaven. He's taking them by the hand as they leave Egypt. These are his people. This covenant with Abraham. I'm going to give you this land. But what happens is they go into Egypt and they're there for 400 plus years. Finally, God delivers them, brings them out. I'm going to fulfill my covenant. I'm going to give you this land. And so God says, I'm not just, well, get out there. I hope you can find it. When you get there, hey, awesome. Have a great journey. He doesn't do that at all. God doesn't do that at all. He didn't send a servant. He didn't send a worker. He didn't send an employee. He came himself. He was in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that guided them day and night. He was in that pillar, in that cloud. He used them then to provide defense for them when the Egyptians came after them. The pillar of fire goes behind them. The sea opens up and they cross on dry land. God himself was there. He was personally involved. I took them by the hand. I love these people. I took them by the hand when they left Egypt. When they left Egypt. But that covenant that I made with them then, they didn't keep. My covenant, this old covenant, which they broke. They broke this covenant. They broke it. The Mosaic covenant, the Ten Commandments. Let me apologize right now for my throat. It's not, I don't feel sick at all. Last Sunday I got a little excited and I lost my voice most of this week. So it's slowly coming back. So I really want to, I'm excited about some things and God keeps going, hold it boy, hold it down. You're going to have nothing left if you let her go. Okay. My covenant which they broke. I just can't imagine. Hear God doing all this, taking them by the hand, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, all that's going on, giving them water out of a rock, doing all these miracles. And all that they did, and all the people did was complain, 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 complain. And God, jeez. And then they break his laws. This is what I like. This is my heart. I gave them to you. I even cut them out. I wrote them myself out of stone. And you agreed to follow them. Remember, they agreed to follow them even before God wrote them. They knew what the commandments were before they were written and came down from the hill. They knew them. And here they are worshiping a golden calf. They agreed to follow them, but they didn't. Oh yeah, we'll do it, we'll do it, we'll do it. And didn't. They broke them. They broke the Ten Commandments. The word broke here, it means to break up, to violate, to frustrate. And I'm sure they frustrated God. It's kind of like you think about after you help somebody out, you do a lot of things for them and all that, and you think about, man, after all I've done to help you, you treat me like that? And yet, multiply that by millions and millions and millions and billions of people. Gosh, I did all this and you treat me like that? Even Moses was frustrated. He takes the tablets that God just carved out of stone and he throws them to the ground, breaks them. I guess they broke them. Moses was saying, here's what you did. You broke them. Just like these tablets were broken. I just can't imagine. In that New Testament parallel in Hebrews, they don't say broke. They said did not continue. Did not continue. It means they didn't stay in the same place. They didn't persevere. They gave up. They just gave up. I just think back to that covenant where they sliced it open. Can you imagine in that covenant today, if that's how you bought your car? You go down to buy your new car and you go, yeah, I brought a couple of dogs and a cat. You know, we're going to just, you know, we'll just hear, I promise to make the payments and you promise to give me the car. Can you imagine what that would be like today? Probably not get by with that, but... But God was making covenant. It was a big deal. It meant something. The Abrahamic covenant meant something. God fulfilled it. This one here. Hey, you got a part in this one. I'm going to give you a part. I did everything for Abraham. And this one, we're going to make a covenant. I'm going to do a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to do almost everything. I'm just going to give you one, a couple, ten little teeny weeny things to do. But we couldn't keep them. Goes on to say, they broke them, though I was a husband to them. Notice how he feels about this agreement. Notice how he feels about you. Though I was a husband. It was like they were my wife, I was their husband, and I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to make sure I do everything I can to provide for my family. I'm going to keep my vows. I'm going to keep my commitments. I'm going to keep my covenant, says the Lord. I was good to them. I was good to them. But they messed up. I was good to them and they cheated on me. I was a good husband and they were a poor wife. They cheated on me. I said I would do everything. I'd make it all happen. I'd make it great. Why did you cheat on me? Why? What wouldn't I provide for you? What out there can you get that I can't give you better? Why are you always looking for something else? Oh, out there it'll fulfill me. When God is saying, I'm a good husband, I will give it to you. What do you lack? The enemy does a great job of getting us to believe we don't have enough. They didn't keep their end. They cheated. They didn't keep their vows. They didn't keep their commitments. They didn't keep the covenant. So what does God do? My gosh. He's thinking about Adam and Eve, Abraham, and I got that going on, and Moses, I got him out of the promised land. I'm doing all these things wrong. And they're cheating on me. They're cheating on me. What am I going to... I know. I'll do something brand new. I'll do something new. These guys can't keep that covenant. I'm going to do something so awesome. I'm going to do something so new. And then he says, but. After all of that, but. And let me tell you, this is a big but. Pardon the expression, but it is a big but here. But. They failed me. They cheated on me. But. This is 615 years before it happened. But. This is the covenant, this new one that I'm doing, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. 224,628 days to be exact. Just have to say it, says the Lord. And what's he going to do? We couldn't get it. But he says, I will put my laws, my commandments, the way that I want them to live, I'm going to put it into their minds. I am going to put it in their minds. What? I'm going to put it in their minds, and I'm going to write it. I'm going to write it on their hearts. They're having a hard time reading it from these stone tablets. I'm going to just bypass everything. I'm going to stick it inside of their hearts. I'm going to put it in their mind. They just can't get it through their thick skulls. They can't get it through their thick skull. I'm gonna put it in. Via the Holy Spirit is gonna speak to me. He's gonna put that word inside your head. Same Holy Spirit is gonna place it inside your heart. I'm gonna give them the way I want to live. I want them to live what I have for them. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. God wrote his laws on the tablets of stone and they broke them. So now God is going to write his laws on the tablets of their heart. Remember, Ezekiel is telling us that this heart isn't that old stony heart. We're taking this stone out of their heart, giving them a heart of flesh so they can receive the law that God wants to give them. You see, understand in this whole thing, we couldn't keep nothing. We couldn't keep jack squat. And here God is saying, oh my gosh, okay, I'm going to make it all happen for you then. I can make it all happen. I'll get it in there. I'll get it in there. I'll get it in there. And you're going to have a much better shot at walking out your life with it in there and in there, rather than messing up and cheating on me like you do. I'm giving you a head start. The word heart, remember, was feelings, the will, and even the intellect, the center of everything. The CPU we talked about, he's going to reprogram that thing. The Old Testament, the laws were written on tablets of stone. The New Testament, laws written on the tablets of our new heart, this heart of flesh. Because the stony heart is gone. The stony heart that responded to stony commandments and broke them all. And then notice what it says here. Remember what he's wanted forever. And then, at every part, he's trying to do everything to get this phrase to happen. He just keeps doing it. This phrase is repeated many times in Ezekiel and Daniel. And I then, after I get this in there and this in there, then they'll see. And I'll be their God. And they'll be my people. I am just amazed and ripped up inside over how amazing God is to not give up on us through the history of time. To realize we can't do it, we can't do it, I'll do that for you. And then we can't do it, okay, I'll make this happen. We can't do it, I'll make all this happen. And I can't do it, I'll make this happen. And I can't do it, all right, I'm going to do most everything for you, okay? I'm going to do just about everything. Just about everything. I'm going to open up every door. I'm going to make it all happen for you. You just have to walk. Can you just walk it out? You have a hard time doing that. Thank God for forgiveness. Then he goes on to say this. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. They all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. It's like, they'll all know me. Not know of me. Because Old Testament, they all knew of the Lord. You, Moses, you go talk to him. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not my God! Oh, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What about my God? Everybody was putting off. They knew of him. Everybody knew of him. But he wanted us to know him. Personally. I don't want you to know of me. Oh yeah, he's big. He's fiery, man. He gets mad. He gets ticked off. Notice I said ticked off on you. I didn't say the other word. It's because I love you. Know about me. Knowledge that produces information. Know me. Relationship that produces transformation. I just think Moses was in such a relationship with God that he wanted to walk God's way. He made some mistakes too. But I'll tell you what, he just had God's heart. All the people didn't get it. They weren't in there. They weren't knowing him like Moses was. Therefore, they knew of him. And therefore, they just wandered away from it. But Moses was in relationship with God. A different type than the people were. But now, we can also have that same thing. I'll talk about that in a moment. You can know about Jesus and never change. You can know about him and never change. But if you know him and have relationship with him, you can't help but be transformed by him. You're so in love with him. It's like, you don't like me? You don't like that? Oh, I don't want to do that no more. We change. We're transformed because of relationship, not because of thou shalt not do that. Do that. It's in here. I don't want to hurt you, man. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I thank you for everything you've done for me. He goes on to say, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Remember, at this time, sin was only covered. It was covered by the shedding of blood, by the sacrifice that happened, but the transgression was still on record. It had just been covered. We come back to Jesus Christ, and no longer was it just covered, it was taken away. Do you realize they're not just covered? They're gone. They're not on your record. It's like, I owe this. Oh, we're going to cover it over. You kind of do, but we kind of covered it over. Old Testament, New Testament, I owe you. And he takes it away. That sin is gone. We're brand new. We're brand fresh. We're spanking new every single morning. We're a new creature. I'm one day newer every day. That's what we have today. I'll forgive them. I'll forgive them. Iniquity forgiven. Sin remembered no more. How? How would he do this? How could he do this? It doesn't work. We have to sacrifice an animal. How would he do this? How's all this going to happen that you're telling us some 615 years ahead of time? The fulfillment of Jeremiah 31 is in Luke 22. First time it's mentioned, and only time in the Old Testament about this new covenant. First time mentioned in the New Testament is in the Gospels. When Jesus says this, and he, Jesus, took bread and gave thanks, and then he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the, say it with me, first time mentioned. Jeremiah, I'm going to do something, a new covenant. covenant. And he told us all that would happen because of that new covenant. This would get in here. This would get in here. Relationship would take place. And Jesus stands there. Some 615 years, 224,628 days later. And would say, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. In my blood, which is shed for you. How was sin and iniquity taken away? Not by the shed blood of animals that were sacrificed back there, but by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who willingly and voluntarily put himself on a cross to pay the penalty and the atonement with his very own life, as every drop of blood was poured out of his body for us. A new covenant. He's telling us connection. New covenant. New covenant. New covenant. This new covenant was promised to Jeremiah some 615 years earlier. The fulfillment of what Jesus did. I think it was well worth the wait. I think it was well worth the wait. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for freeing us up. Thank you for loving us when we cheated on you. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not giving up on me, Lord. The new covenant would be ushered in with the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross. His death, that we are to remember in communion, gave us the new covenant. Remember, no death, no new covenant, no hope. Paul describes further on, Jesus spoke it, and Paul wants us to carry this thing on. He's saying we need to remember this new covenant, folks. We need to realize this wasn't just a passing fancy, but this is the basis of everything that we're doing, is this new covenant. We need to remember this new covenant. We need to institute this thing called communion. We need to continue to do this so we don't forget what Jesus did for us. He describes it in 1 Corinthians 11:23 and 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is, say with me, broken for you. I couldn't help but remember the old covenant we broke. We broke those stony commandments. We broke the old covenant, the new covenant. Jesus was broken for us so we could quit breaking God's laws and quit breaking God's heart. I want to break your heart, Lord. I want to do what you want. You know, when men and women get married, they change. They quit doing some of the things they used to do. They realize the family is more important. They have children. They realize that's more important. They get old. They realize that's not important. No. They change. Marriage changes you. Jesus wants us to be married to him. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Oh, I can't explain to us how powerful that simple little word right in there, that's mentioned once in the Old Testament, but it was the amazing thing that God wanted to see happen, fulfilled by Jesus Christ, as he mentions it very first time in the New Testament. And then Paul is saying, don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget what Jesus did for you. The same manner, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance. Remember me, remember me, remember me, remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes, folks. He's coming back. He's coming back. He is coming back. It's a promise you can count on. He came the first time to provide forgiveness and relationship to all of us, but He is coming a second time in judgment. He will judge us. We will be judged. Do we have the blood of Jesus? Do we have relationship with Christ? Are we His? Is He ours? Do this in remembrance of me. Remember, remember, remember. It's a new covenant, promised here, fulfilled here. Now remember every month we do it, to remember Jesus, to look at His scars, to see what He did for us on the cross, to realize He poured out all of His blood. He was beaten up, marred beyond human likeness. Why? So He could fulfill Jeremiah 31. A new covenant. Remember. Remember. To call to mind. Call it back to our mind. To cause to remember. The means of causing someone to remember. 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 Let me conclude with this thought. Don't forget what it took to give you this new covenant. This new freedom. This new power, the Holy Spirit, this new heart, this new forgiveness that takes sin away, this new life. New, new, new. Jesus wants us to know it's a new day. He's doing a new thing. And the newness of what He did 2,608 years ago. That He talked about it in Jeremiah 2,608 years ago now, has changed our life forever. Opened up heaven's door. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful. Let's pray. Lord, help us to never get arrogant. To never think we deserve something from You, Lord, because we deserve nothing. But Lord, help us to never forget how gracious, how wonderful, how loving, how caring, how awesome You were to us, Your cheating spouse, to open up a new way, to forgive us of everything, to create a relationship which would draw us, because Your ways, Your laws, Your heart, are written here and here. You put them in there. Father, grow them. Grow them. Grow our relationship with You. Grow our knowledge. The One whom we love so dearly. Help us, Lord. We're so unworthy. But You are so, so, so good to us. Thank You, Jesus. Love you guys. God bless.